Most people love a good adventure. You see it in literature. You watch it in movies. They love a good adventure. And when you're talking in terms of adventure, a few times, especially in literature and in recent movies, it starts off with a map, a treasure map. And this treasure map leads to a fulfillment of a lot of desires. Discovery of ancient articles, the discovery of gold or precious stones. Now, when the person discovers the map, they possess it for themselves. And the first thing they do is they try to authenticate it, make sure that the map is real, that the map is real, is important. They don't want to spend all their time and their energies on something which is false. And then they usually enlist a few friends. Once they've authenticated that map, they enlist a few friends. And then they start on the journey. And I can tell you, before even the treasure is discovered, the individuals are already manifesting in their minds what they are going to do with the prize. Now, if you think that's strange, ask anybody who has purchased a lottery ticket. Those of you who have here, and I have, you spend that $1 or those $2, and what happens? You're spending that money even before the numbers are declared, winning numbers are declared. You've got that money spent because it's a treasure already in your mind. It enlightens kind of a desire, a fulfillment. St. John the Evangelist, the patron of our archdiocese, is the one who wrote this gospel. He's the individual who, and if you take a look at the whole set of gospels, it's the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who do the synoptic aspect, and they look pretty much the same, but all of a sudden here comes John, who was the beloved apostle, John, who was the individual who literally lived into his 90s. So what is John doing? John is helping all of those individuals who have come to know the Lord, especially through the gospels that are proclaimed, to understand the teaching of Jesus, to understand his reason, his declaration, that sometimes we're not necessarily present in the Gospels themselves when they're proclaimed. So you have John now filling in a little bit of the gaps. And of course, one of the gaps that John fills in is the fact that the apostles don't always get it. They have to be reminded about who Jesus is, about what the ultimate goal is, about the aspect of salvation. And one of the things here immediately is you have a declaration. A declaration. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the divine. No one else makes that claim in other faiths. They're representatives. They're prophets. But no one makes the bold claim to say, I am one with God. I am the Son. When you come and know me, you know the Father. You've seen him. The incarnation that we cherish as the great mystery. God becoming one with us through his Son. So he identifies with everything that we do. So there begins kind of the great mystery. First of all, the discovery. The discovery of Jesus and the proclamation in our own sense of, like Thomas, kneeling before him and saying, my Lord and my God. And once you have your eyes fixed on that adventure, then he becomes the way, the truth, and the life. And in that great adventure. He is the way because this is the map. Now, certainly we do deviate from the map at times. My sister always kind of claims that, you know, if I get something that needs assembly, I start assembling the thing before I read the directions. And you know what happens? It's disastrous. Because then all of a sudden, someone comes along and it says, hey, idiot, right here in the second paragraph, it says you should take this and put it here. And all of a sudden, they do it for you and the thing works. It didn't work before. I'm the type of individual who uses directions by trying to memorize the Citgo station or a BP station is on the corner. That's fine if you've only got one or two BP or Citgo stations, but when you've got hundreds of them all around, all of a sudden your directions are kind of useless. You know, it's my sister who can't say, that's what a map is for, Jerome. That's what MapQuest is there for, Jerome. But no, that's kind of part of our nature. We want to kind of strike out and do it on our own. But when we have the truth before us, this gives us the way. And the sacred scriptures and the gospel gives us the way that Jesus calls us to live. And this is the sure way. Why? Because he is the truth. He is the truth. Now, it's important that Jesus says the truth here is because you remember, especially from that first, the Acts, you've got the Hellenists, those who are concerned with the philosophy of life, the overriding philosophy of truth and beauty and goodness. Here, Jesus lays claim to the fact that being the revelation of the Father, he's the truth. He's the authentication of the map by which we travel. He's the one. There is no other. And of course, what's the treasure? The treasure is our wildest imaginings. And what is that? We are all going to face death. We know that. We know that. We are all going to face death. The question for all of us is, what happens after? Jesus tells us very directly what happens after. There is heaven waiting for us. There is heaven that's open to us. I am going to prepare a place, a dwelling place for you. So that fear of death, which we know, lies before all of us, is now wiped away because there is one who in truth promises that the love that we have reflected on our life for him will lead us to eternal happiness. Will lead us to eternal happiness. We can't live with death inevitable. We don't live with that aspect. We live life as it's given to us. But we also do not shun the fact that death is there. But the Lord offers us more. Yesterday, I ordained 6 men for the priesthood. And when they came before me, of course, one of the first things I did is they placed their folded hands in my folded hands, and I said to them, to each one of them individually, do you promise to me obedience and to my successors? You promise obedience to me and my successors. When I said that, you know, I was looking at that, and of course, their response was, I do. But in thinking about that, I'm realizing that I'm 39 years a priest. What an adventure they're entering into for the next how many years? 39 years. Then I realize quite readily my successors will be the one who will see them in their 25th year of priesthood or their 30th year of the priesthood. I'll be someplace else. Hopefully, with the Lord our God. Or, hopefully, somebody praying for me to get me out of purgatory so that I can have that eternal life. But the stark reality is,
there it was in front of me.
You pledge obedience to me and my successors. There will be those that will come after us. But what do? We are charged with living the Christian life. We are charged and given the power by Jesus Christ to live fully the gospel. And in us, God uses us as an instrument to encourage others to follow in that way. Because it is the way. St. Peter tells us in a wonderful statement that you are a chosen race, a holy priesthood. You were marked for holiness. St. Peter tells us immediately that as a chosen race, a holy nation, that you are a people of his own. And we know that God will never abandon his own. We can take that into our hearts. We can use that to encourage us when we encounter times of difficulty. And I believe that's exactly what St. John is doing for the Christian community at this time. He's encouraging them to know immediately that this is the one. He's the one. There is no other. And when you have him all. You have the way, you have the truth, and you have a life that not only affirms the life living in this world in the love of God, but takes you into the next. One that is filled with eternal happiness, with the blessedness of the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.